sports, politics, life. Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
My favorite radio station of all time, to no one's surprise, is WHB, a historic radio station in Kansas City celebrating its 100th year as WHB. There will be a massive event at Midland Theater on Thursday night with all kinds of sports personalities, former coaches, players, athletes, broadcasters, callers from the radio station, famous callers from the radio station, all kinds of people celebrating. There's going to be live music, a big production at the Midland Theater, a VIP red carpet event, cocktails, all kinds of stuff as they celebrate 100 years of WHB. Now, it's not been 100 years of Sports Radio 810 as Union Broadcasting took over WHB over 20 years ago. In 1999, it's when Union Broadcasting took over WHB and purchased the property, but there's an amazing history of this radio station being celebrated on this Thursday night. The first thing to know about WHB is there's very few radio stations that are three letters that are their call letters. You may notice that through the years, most stations start with a K. We have so many in Kansas City, KMBZ, KCMO, all kinds of television stations. If you had a W, you were really different. And even WDAF, which is Channel 4 and at one point was 61 Country, WDAF, AM, and FM radio, were quite different just to have a W with your call letters. There were even fewer that were three-letter W stations. WGN in Chicago comes to mind for a lot of people as something that really stands out. WHB in Kansas City was it. I mean, that was it. The call letters, the signal, the station was everything. The station was founded in 1922 by Sam Adair and John Schilling, according to the website today, concerning the big event that will be taking place on Thursday night. I've known a lot of the history of WHB from being a co-founder of Union Broadcasting, which has owned WHB now for about a quarter of the time, almost a quarter of the century that WHB has existed. It was the first top 40 radio station in America. Ultimately, it invented the top 40 format. There were some shows that would come on the air and do, hey, here's the top 40 songs in the country, but then that was it. WHB did it 24 hours a day, and they basically played 40 songs over and over and over for 24 hours a day, and it took off, and everybody in the country essentially then took the current hits and started playing them. Now, imagine that. This is on AM radio and what that sounded like. WHB's on-air personalities were huge celebrities in Kansas City. They were called the world's happiest broadcasters. They were the WHB Air Force. DJs like Johnny Dolan and Phil Jay were basically rock stars in and around Kansas City as everyone listened to WHB. They had an enormous market share. In those days, even a bigger market share than we had in the early days of sports radio, where at times, when I was hosting in the afternoon, we were the number one radio station in Kansas City. We used to get 14 shares and would be the number one overall station, which is extremely rare since the turn of the century for any AM radio station or any sports station. It happened in the early 2000s. It lasted for a while. We largely compete in a demographic that is male, 25, 54. That was our main competitive area. But there were times that the audience was so massive, it was the number one overall radio station, which is unheard of today. The shares of the radio station now compared to the 14s we had then are down in the twos. They're very small. It's changed dramatically. Radio has changed dramatically. It has shifted much more heavily almost every year that's gone by to FM signals. I don't want to bring any of this down. Look, I just don't. But it's kind of sad personally for me to see, for example, in the mornings, 610, their show, Bob Fesco, Pete Mundo over on 710, they're all beating the morning show on 810. That's disappointing to me. When I was there, when we founded the company, we slaughtered everybody. I mean, it was a ratings juggernaut. It is not that way now. 610 is the number one sports radio station. That's disappointing to me. That's sad. It hurts me. It honestly hurts me that something that was built that was so big is not what it used to be. But that's not what this celebration is about. The past 100 years is a really big deal. And WHB has been a really big part of the Kansas City community. And they're having a giant event tonight at Midland Theater. I am not going to make a bunch of commentary about this. It is equally disappointing that I am not invited to the event. I've mentioned that a couple of times. Look, it's clearly it says more about them than it does about me. So I'm good with that. I'll leave it at that. And in addition to that, they called and asked, would you do an interview with us so we could play it at the event? I always try to be the bigger person and do the right thing. I respect the hell out of 100 years of WHB. I thought they were going to be making like a documentary, an historic thing that they would play at this event that might be 20 minutes long or something like that. And to be part of that would have been cool. It's not. What they're going to do is take little 10-second snippets of what I had to say and use them in intros. I know how they operate. This is simply the opportunity for them to put me on the screen a couple of times and make it look like I just couldn't attend, that I'm just too busy or I couldn't be there. That's not the case. Just for the record, it's not the case. We're a truthful podcast. We lay everything out and just tell the truth. And the truth is, I'm not invited, and neither is Jessica. I'm more hurt by the fact that she's not invited than me. She used to work there for free. She worked for my former partner free, absolutely free. They haven't spoken in years. It's a sad thing, whatever. It's ridiculous. But it is what it is. So we will not be at the event tonight, and they're going to have this wonderful event, but apparently some little pieces of my interview will be part of the event. And so I'm pleased with that. I'm happy with that. I like being affiliated with WHB. I like being affiliated with their history. I like winners. That radio station for 100 years has been a winner in Kansas City. It has changed our community. It has impacted lives. It has led to a lot of good things that have happened. And so I'm very happy that that is the case. So what I've done is I've gotten a piece from Ben Messner. I have many dear friends still at the radio station, Ben Messner among them. He's just an outstanding family man. He's the production director. He does a lot of really cool corporate videos and audio podcasts and things on the side. If you ever, your company, your corporation is ever looking for someone to do audio visual type stuff for your company, he does it on the side. Get a hold of me and I'll put you in touch with the Ben. He's just the best. He's the best. I'd love to get him business and help him out. And there's just some wonderful people still at WHB. So he comes by the house last week and sits down with his video camera in my basement, and I can't show you the video here. We're not doing it that way, but I've taken a piece. The interview was much longer than this. Some of the audio is a little tough. He wasn't mic'd up, so it was just the ambient sound of him asking me the questions. But I think you'll find this fascinating as we go down memory lane, and I want this to be, I want you all to interpret this as my love for what we built in a new format for a radio station that was incredibly impactful and successful long before Union Broadcasting and me as the co-founder of Union Broadcasting became stewards of WHB. And that's what we were. There will be another owner someday. Hopefully it'll be a Kansas City owner. Someday, somewhere, somebody else will own this. And WHB is a very, very historic property. It reaches 42,000 square miles in five states, and it has an absolutely amazing history. And I am pleased to be a part of that history and the great things that we built and things that we did. And here's a little bit about that with Ben Messner. His first question that I'll be answering right here is simply about my first memories as a child growing up in Kansas City of WHB. One of the first songs I really remember falling in love with was American Pie by Don McLean. And I believe that song came out in 1971. So that would have made me 7 years old. And I can't believe that I would have heard that on FM. That doesn't sound right. I don't think we were really listening to FM yet. I think FM was here. There were stations. Some people had FM radios, but I don't remember having an FM radio at our house or in the car at that point. You know, it took a while before they started putting those in cars and cassette decks and things like that. So that all started to change as the years went by. But I'm pretty sure the first time I heard American Pie would have been on WHB.
So we're going to jump a little bit forward to when you started. You want to talk about starting with Jerry Green and Chad when you guys started at 1510?
Well, it was such a thrilling time. You know, there was no all-sports radio station in Kansas City. There were a few around the country, but not even most major markets didn't have them yet. Chad and I both believed that it was going to work and it was going to be a big deal. We needed to find an investor. We needed to find somebody that wanted to do this. The radio station companies that owned stations in Kansas City at that time were not interested. They wanted to do news talk all day, weather on the nines, traffic reports, all these different things, and then sprinkle in a couple of hours of sports in the afternoon. And nobody in Kansas City really liked that. We started doing all sports on 1510, and it was amazing the way that it took off. At that time, Jerry Green was working with another man trying to purchase 1510 to make it his own. Chad was leasing time from a guy from Ozark, Missouri. Nobody owned the property, really, in Kansas City. We were just leasing time and doing our all-sports shows. And we had a couple of other people that turned us down that surprised us a little bit, people that are still in business in Kansas City today. But Jerry Green was a true believer. At that time, he had tried to buy the Royals prior to that, and they didn't like his style, let's say. I wouldn't say character. Jerry Green was a man of great character, but he was flamboyant and had a style, and everybody knew it. And baseball doesn't really like that. So his group that he was trying to put together to buy the Royals never really had a chance because Jerry was just a little too stylish and flamboyant. So he thought the next best thing is, what if I created the first all-sports radio station in Kansas City? And so he was working to do that, and I remember distinctly one day we were in the studios in Independence, and I was doing my afternoon show, and Jerry walked through with a man named Jim McDonald, who was the general manager at Channel 62 at the time. And Jim McDonald wanted to be the general manager of the all-sports station. He was trying to get Jerry to be his investor. I didn't talk to Jerry that day. I was on the air. He only walked through to look at the building, and he wasn't there very long. I gave him one of these like that. And Chad and I spent maybe the next couple weeks fretting over the fact that maybe Jerry Green was going to buy this. Would we even be part of the thing? What would happen? And we'd had a couple people reject us. I said, well, why don't we just call Jerry and see if he'll go with us instead of Jim McDonald? And Chad's like, great idea. And the two of us went down to his office. We met with him. About 10 minutes in, he said, well, you know, I want you guys there. I want you both there. You have to be part of this. And I told him, I've got a really good job at Channel 4, and I got three kids at home. And I really don't feel good working with Jim McDonald. It's not that I knew bad things about him. I'd heard things were, but I'd never worked with him. I said, I'm comfortable, Chad. He's comfortable with me. We got this. And Jerry said, okay, I'll call Jim and tell him he's out. We went, wow, we've got a sports radio station. So that's when we started 1510. And that thing went so well, so fast, it was insane. It was a daytime only signal. We went off, this would have been maybe 98 or so, 1998. We had to sign off at 5 o'clock in the winter because it was dark. The rating books back then, people didn't wear meters, it wasn't electronic. They filled out diaries. They literally wrote down every day what radio station they listened to. The Arbitron company asked them, at the end of the day, write down what station you listened to at what time. And we came back in January of that year when we were signed off at 5 o'clock and we won the 5 o'clock hour. People were writing down they were listening to us when they couldn't listen to us because we weren't even on the air. We're like, something pretty good's going on here, Jerry. And he's like, yes, it is. We need a better signal. We got to be on at night. And then he made the push to get the money and buy WHB, and that's when it all just exploded.
What about some of your best memories from WHB?
Well, I think I'm very competitive. So for me, one of the best memories would have been April of 99 when we were in the process of acquiring WHB. We had a really big month on the air, and it really separated us from 980 at the time. Don Fortune was on the air then. On April 1st of 1999, I came on and had a scoop and reported that Norm Stewart was out at the University of Missouri. On 980, they were on the air saying, that's an April Fool's joke. Those guys are clowns over there. They don't know what they're doing. It's not real. Don't listen to a thing they say. It's a joke. Of course, it was true. That's when something really happened. It wasn't just fun and exciting in sports. We became a trusted entity. You can believe what they're saying. I had 12 years background in sports reporting, breaking stories in television. And so we really got a lot of equity right then and there with the listeners. 4 weeks later, we had Share the Wealth at Kauffman Stadium. We had 5,000 people walk out row by row from the stadium just to draw attention to the disparity in baseball between the New York Yankees and the Royals, a big market team and a small market team. The Royals were inept at the time. They were no good. David Glass didn't own the team yet, as I recall. He was the steward of the team. Ewing Kauffman had left it in a trust for him to manage. We thought he was cheap. We didn't think there was any way it was ever going to amount to anything. But we knew if the Royals' payroll was only a tenth of what the Yankees was, there was never going to be a chance. These were unbelievable Yankees teams. The Yankee team that came in April 30th that year was Bernie Williams, Derek Jeter, Jorge Posada, Roger Clemens, David Cohn, Andy Pettit. I mean, it's just a who's who. They were a steamroller. I think they won 100 games that year. They were a monster. I remember that night, it was such an electric atmosphere at the stadium. The Royals scored 13 runs. I think Carlos Fabelis hit a home run that night. Tim Spear was the catcher. I mean, this team was nothing. Some guy named Mormon, as I recall, was the winning pitcher. I can't even tell you his first name. I don't remember who he was. It was just an epic night. There was electricity in the ballpark. I remember Al Troutwig, the Yankees announcer. We didn't know that night, but I saw it the next day. It was on TV back in New York. He goes, look at these beer-swilling yahoos in Kansas City that hate the Yankees. And our response was, we don't hate the Yankees. ESPN was there. They were broadcasting live. They'd come to our walkout. We were simply explaining to people in New York and LA and places like that that didn't know, this game's unfair. David Glass really liked what we did. He was never a friendly sort. We were never close to him or anything like that. So we never got a thank you or anything. But as you know, historically now, he went to work with Bud Selig over the next few years on revenue sharing, a soft salary cap, which is essentially what they have, or a luxury tax. A lot of things changed over the next few years in baseball that ultimately led to the Royals being competitive and winning a World Series. Now, that was several years later, but the foundation had to be laid. You know, you don't build Rome in a day. And we really felt like we were a big part of that. That was so much fun that night. I think one of the most ironic things was when the Yankees got off the bus that night, all these listeners of our show were lined up where the bus pulls up and they walk into the stadium. And Derek Jeter had his jacket up like this, like he was some kind of a convict and criminal. And Bernie Williams has his hands over his face, like they were in some kind of trouble. It was the most bizarre thing ever. I mean, these were like Hall of Famers, great players. And that's the way they felt. They felt, I don't know if they were making jokes or whether there was some shame that they made so much money and we pick on the poor Royals. But they got it handed to them that weekend. I mean, except for David Cohn, he had a really good outing, I think, in game two of that series. I think they split the series and the Royals scored 8 runs, 13 runs, 9 runs in the games. They beat these Yankees pitchers all over the yard. I think to this day, that was the only team the Royals had a winning record against that year was the Yankees. I think it's a very strange little stat.
Okay, speaking about Kansas City's response to the radio station, like the Turkey Bowl, I kind of want to reference like the Turkey Bowl and some of the like community stuff that happened with that. Do you have some memories about like how big the Turkey Bowl got?
The Turkey Bowl was a blast. I mean, we raised truckloads of food for harvesters. We had 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people at Rockhurst High School watching it. It wasn't great football, but we brought in some people who had played football that knew what they were doing. Obviously, it wasn't tackle. There were times it got a little physical. It got way overly competitive between myself and Jason Whitlock. There's just no question about it. We were co-workers, we're at the station, but it got way too competitive. Now I was undefeated against Jason. I'll go ahead and mention that because I'm still competitive. But I love the guy. I got no issues. It was a lot of fun. We involved listeners. We gave them a chance to play with us. We brought in former college quarterbacks and people like that. Baseball players crossed over and played. It was a celebrity thing, but it was fun, and it was sort of competitive. We had a couple of practices. I went out, and with the help of Stan Weber, I went out and found a couple of guys in Kansas City who played in flag football leagues. He says, I know some people that are really good. I said, great, bring 2 or 3 of those guys in. And we did, so I was a little stacked. I mean, it was a little rigged. I had somebody helping me find guys who played that exact sport. We didn't fill the whole field with them, but when it really mattered, they were all on the field. I can tell you that, so... the community loved it. They brought food like crazy. They sat out in pretty cold weather. I mean, it was November. It was around Thanksgiving. But I think even more than the game, it was the lead up to the game. It was the calls to the show, the feeling of community. People from Harvesters saying, this is unbelievable. You're doing this. Thank you. We would have them on as guests. And just random callers. We go, okay, Steve's calling in to talk about the lowly Chiefs. We're having a bad year or whatever. And he goes, you know, the Chiefs stink, but I really want to talk about this Turkey Bowl. You guys are great. And here's what I've done. I took my kids to the grocery store, and we all went shopping, and they all picked things out that we can give to Harvesters. We did it as a family. We made it a project. And when those moments happened with this radio station, it's given me goosebumps to this day, because you're touching families who are going out and doing things that they've never done before for no other reason than they like a radio station and they just want to be part of something. And now they're teaching their children about community and about giving. And I forget everything else. Forget ratings, forget money, forget everything else. Man, those are the lasting moments that, you know, build communities, that build what Kansas City is, who we are, the fiber of what we are. I mean, it was truly amazing that people called it. The stories they told about what they did with their kids for that Turkey Bowl was just amazing.
That's awesome. Are there any other things that you really want to touch on?
Well, you know, when we talk about favorite moments, to me, there's something about programming, obviously, and I felt like April of 99 was big. We talked about that story. My favorite moment of any of this was the night we were signing on WHB for the first time. As I recall, maybe we hadn't taken over ownership yet. We'd bought it. We had an agreement. We were going to It was going to take 3 or 4 months to get approval before we actually owned it. But we had a big party in Westport, and we were going to sign on at midnight, and we were going to have a remote. And there were listeners, and everybody that worked there was there, and Jerry Green was there. And Jerry, as I mentioned, was flamboyant. I think he'd had a couple of vodkas. He might eat some red meat that night. You know, he was pure Kansas City. And when it happened and we were on, this man who, you know, I'm a young guy. I'm like 33 years old, right? Comes up to me from the side and grabs me by the head and just kisses me on the cheek. And he says, "This is the greatest thing ever." And I said, "What you're doing for me has changed my life." And we just embraced and hugged. And it was an unbelievable moment. He loved the radio station. I miss him every day.
How I miss Jerry Green every day. Really, the era that will be separated out someday with WHB, Union Broadcasting, Sports Radio 810, will be the Jerry Green years. Ultimately, those were the best years, and it's not close. That was the heyday of the sports radio portion of WHB. I mean, we had 4, 5, 6 times as many listeners as there are today. It is impossible for me to put into words the amount of people that listen, the amount of people that I'd been on television for several years in Kansas City. So even though I was on radio, people recognized me, knew who I was. The amount of people that came up to me, how, I won't say overwhelming, how wonderful it was to, I mean, there was no place I could go 20 years ago, right now, 20 years ago from today, there was no place I could go in Kansas City that somebody didn't stare, recognize, come up, shake a hand, whatever. It was, for about a 5 to 10 year period, it was like being a ball player. It was like, you know, being a player, an athlete, or something that everybody knew. It's hard to explain. Many of you listened back then, and you remember the excitement, the community, the good that we did, the things that we did. And I miss that. I will tell you this: I knew at the time. I think Jessica knew. We talked about it a lot. We knew what a special thing we were onto, and we knew it wouldn't last. I mean, there was just no way. I mean, you're sitting there on AM radio and a local company that doesn't have the money to go buy an FM station and move it over there. I still believe that if it gets competitive, if WHB comes back, and you know, if they got to a point where, like, we had 23 shows go up against us in the afternoon and we beat them all. Over the years, they just kept bringing in new hosts and different stations and trying to defeat us, and it didn't work. If it ever gets to the point that 610 is not winning, they'll put that on FM. I believe if WHB could go WHB FM, I think they could get the lead back. I think they could be the number one station. I think they could do that. Most markets this size have an FM sports station. Kansas City does not. And I think it's a little bit problematic that it doesn't really work that way. But I digress. I'm not interested in radio anymore. I'm not going back to radio. I can't imagine a day that I go back to radio. What I'm doing right now is growing. It's impactful. It's fun. It's what I like to do, and it's working, and it's perfect for our life today. And I can't even imagine going back. I mean, you never say never, but I can't even imagine the scenario or situation it would take to go back to radio. It's a grind. It's just, this is better. I don't have to check with anybody about anything I say here, ever, at any moment or any time. If I went back into radio, it would undoubtedly be with a corporation, which I've never done, and that would be like wearing shackles, I think, at times. So I can't even imagine going back and doing that. But we're a little disappointed we weren't invited tonight. I don't do petty. I don't do grudges. I don't do any of this other nonsense. It's fine. Whatever. I had several people that were invited to go contact me and say, "If you don't want me to go, I won't go." And I told every single one of them to go to this event. Don't be that way, please. And don't involve me. Just go and do it and enjoy yourself and go. And as I kept getting these calls, they're like, "Well, I don't know." I said, "No, just go. Forget it. Doesn't matter. Forget about it. And all of them are going except one. I'm not going to point out the one. There was actually a person who unbelievably and remarkably said, "Nope, if you're not invited, I'm not going." And I tried really hard to get that person to go. I really wanted them to go. I said, I do not want to be I don't want to be that reason. I don't. And I honestly don't want to be a part of it. I don't want anybody talking about me not being there. I don't want anybody asking, hey, what went on? I don't want to be a part of that. We're out. We've checked out. We've moved on. We're all good. If you're going tonight, if you're still a listener of Sports Radio 810, that's awesome. I'm happy to hear that. I hope you have a great time. I hope it's a wonderful evening. I hope you get some autographs, photographs, and have a terrific night. Enjoy yourself, and congratulations to all of the people that I worked with through the years at WHB on 100 years of WHB. Have a good time tonight. I assume that there'll be some perks in it for employees. Have a great evening tonight, and congratulations to everyone at WHB all through the years, before Union Broadcasting, with Union Broadcasting now, at Sports Radio 810, sponsors, callers, listeners, everybody involved, congratulations. It is an historic property, and it was the greatest experience of my life. Thank you so much. WHB gave me more than I could have ever given back to WHB. All right, KKHI is brought to you by Window World, simply the best for less, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. John Gillette and his team at Window World, well, they're just great. They win customer service awards every year because they care. Call 816-799-0820 and find out what they can do for you, whether it's one window or a whole house full of windows, siding, doors, whatever it may be, anything for the exteriors. Window World is simply the best for less. They're telling you their customer service really is better. It's John's priority. He's like that. You know that about our sponsors. You know what kind of people there are. They're like you, and they want to do right by their customers. Online at windowskansascity.com. Tim Cross, inside your home, redo that kitchen. Whether you just need some new countertops or your floors refinished, Cross Kitchens KC can do that. They can also do the complete remodel, bust out walls, do the whole thing. No job too big, no job too small. Tim would love to meet you. He'd like to sit down with you and your family and say, how can we design a kitchen that's absolutely perfect for everyone in your home? For your family to gather around birthdays, holidays, celebrations, or just weekends grilling out and sitting around in the kitchen because it's hot and humid and you're not outside. CrossKitchensKC.com. Family owned and operated near Belton, Missouri, from a micro farm. I got to visit Tim's micro farm. I got to do that. That sounds awesome to me. CrossKitchensKC.com. Amazing garage floors. I was walking in the neighborhood last night, and I got about three or four blocks over where we don't really know people all that well, but we walk around and whatnot. And a neighbor, I won't mention his name. We know who it is, but we won't. He stopped me and says, hey, when are you doing the seal on your driveway? I said, well, it's going to be a while. It'll be at least a month, maybe a little longer, because we're going to wait till it's a little bit cooler. And he goes, hey, let me know when that is, and I'll shoot you an email and remind me, I want to get mine done, and I think my neighbor across the street wants to do it. So we live in a new housing subdivision, and after your first winter, before your second winter, you're really supposed to seal your driveway. So if you need to throw salt and sand on it, whatever, it's good, and everybody in the neighborhood knows this. So I think John's got a sweet spot over here. Hutch, if you're listening, I may have three or four seal jobs for you here in my neighborhood. They're all asking me about it. So, yeah, that whole thing about you thinking about slowing down and retiring, probably not going to happen for a while, Hutch. Not as long as my neighborhood exists. If you want to get your driveway sealed, call 913-901-7139 for amazinggaragefloors.net. And, of course, Dr. Bill Bush at NKC Dental. Two locations, just across the river from downtown in North Kansas City and in Westwood near the plaza. That's in Kansas. For regular dental care, implants, cosmetic dentistry, crowns, veneers like I have. I have veneer work. I've had crown work. I used to have TMJ. It's gotten better. But if you have the jaw disorder and the chewing disorder, or if you need teeth whitening, they can do all that and help with all that. They also can help with sleep disorders at North Kansas City Dental, 816-471-2911. How about those Kansas City Royals? 27 straight RBIs by rookies. I think that's up to 35 of 37 now, but Salvi got one on Wednesday night. I think that ended the streak. I think it ended at 27 or somewhere right around there. MJ Melendez hit a big home run. The Royals had lost the lead. Melendez homers. Life is good. Bobby Witt goes 2-for-4. The Royals bang out 15 hits, 8 runs. Michael Massey, the second baseman, booted a hard hit ball. that cost him a run and led to a fairly big inning, made up for his error with a big hit in the ball game. It was just, it's fun to watch these young guys. And I don't think it's because they're new. There's an energy they're playing with and a swagger. Melendez hits a home run last night. And he steps out of the batter's box. And look, I thought there were times when the Royals that wound up winning the World Series when they were young that I thought they were just too cocky and too much swag. I said, this team is no good and they're arrogant and they're kind of jerks out there. Then when they got good and started fighting with other teams, remember the Royals famously got into a whole bunch of fights with teams like the White Sox, like physical fights on the field as part of their attitude. That was them. This group of young Royals, from what I can tell, has a swagger. Bobby Witt, just the way he carries himself playing baseball reminds me of Patrick Mahomes. He's an incredibly gifted athlete. He's fast as the wind. He hits for power. He does all these things. He's not a very good shortstop at this point, so they've got him at third base. That's probably right. But the swagger that he has, you can see it. He's clearly going to be the leader of this team. There's no doubt. He's got it. Look, when they interview him, he seems shy and all these things. When he plays baseball, he's a rock star. You can see it. He's going to lead this team. He's that guy. But they've all got it. Melendez hits his home run last night, and he steps out of the box, and he's running down the first baseline. Look, Melendez, when he hits him, he hit more home runs in the minor leagues last year than anybody in minor league baseball. I think he's got 15 or 16 this year in like 75 games. I mean, this guy's balling, okay? He's a catcher, but they're playing him in the outfield, and he runs fast. It's like, it's amazing. He's just got these ridiculous hands in the strike zone that get the barrel on the ball. He's fun to watch. So he hits the one last night, and he gets about 10 steps from the plate, and he looks into the dugout, and he's not looking at first base, and he's pointing to the ground with both hands, just pointing as he's running, trotting. He knows it's gone. The ball isn't even in the seats yet, and he knows it's gone. And he's turning to his teammates going, this is our house. This is my house right now. This is our house. And he's pointing to the ground. I'm like, that's just fantastic. It wasn't mean to the other team. He wasn't looking at them. He wasn't disrespecting the pitcher. He wasn't near the first baseman. And the dugout is just lit up. They're like Little League kids, like watching Williamsport. They're so excited. It was really cool. There's something good going on with the Royals position players. Something really good going on with the position players. Pitching, we'll see. It seems like it's been okay of late. We'll see. But I'm not, look, you never buy in the second half of the season when the Royals are out of everything. We've fallen for that before. I'm not buying in. I'm not predicting great things next year. I'm telling you what they have for sure going forward is a fun team that's going to hit more home runs. And like the White Sox are a really good team. They have a really good roster. And they got a Hall of Fame manager. They've got all these pieces. And they're right around 500. They're in the race because nobody's running away with the Central. The Central's a bunch of mediocre teams. The White Sox still could win it. But they don't hit home runs. They're like 26th out of 30 teams in hitting home runs. In today's baseball, you got a homer. Well, now the guys the Royals are bringing up, they all homer. Prado had a walk-off Saturday night. Pasquantino hit a home run in each of two games in a doubleheader. Melendez has 15 of them. I think Bobby Witt leads the team in home runs. These guys they're bringing up all hit home runs. And my mom is, you know, I said, look, you have to get to a point where Nicky Lopez isn't your guy. You got to have people that hit home runs on your team. That's how you win games. You don't win games by stacking five hits in a row. You don't. You win games by somebody drawing a walk and the next guy hitting at 450 feet. Now you got two on the board on one pitch. And you really haven't done much in the inning, but you got two on the board. That's kind of where the Royals are now. They're starting to hit more home runs. I kind of love seeing it. Really cool stuff. All right, this is sports, but this is an issue. So we'll delve into it. It crosses over and becomes the exact kind of thing I like to talk about on this podcast. The NHRA Drag Racing Nationals are in Topeka this weekend. There is a big story out there in the Star and, you know, other news outlets about Pride Kansas, which is a car. It's a dragster that's going to be competing at NHRA in Topeka. Travis Shoemake is going to drive the car. And this is being recognized as the first openly gay driver in NHRA. Let me set this up before I get to the main point. Travis Shoemake has said, "I'm surprised by how welcoming the entire community has been." So let's start with this. Because the inference, anytime you're breaking a barrier and you're saying, this is a big deal, he's the first openly gay, none of these people are Jackie Robinson, first and foremost. Secondly, if you're still making a big deal about all this stuff, you're inferring that conservatives are biased, that they're homophobes, that nobody will accept this in our culture, that they don't like you. That's what you're inferring. You're taking your bias against people that you don't agree politically, and you're putting it out there, and you're basically saying the whole world's a bad place, we should celebrate this. This is not groundbreaking. It is not new. It is not Jackie Robinson. It is not a thing. There ain't nobody in the NHRA community that cares that this car is coming and this man is driving. They're not going to walk around and, what do? You go, you start sniffing a person, say, oh, you smell gay, or you look gay, or you sound gay. People aren't like that. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Okay? Is this the same as, do we make a big deal of the first widow that drove a car? The first divorcee? How about the first person that's a swinger? Oh, we have a swinger driving a car. Oh, he and his wife are swingers. Let's celebrate that sexual lifestyle. Whoa, we got the first S&M person driving a car. We gonna do that? No, we don't do that. We don't do that. And nobody cares who you have sex with. Sorry. Nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares. Just live your life. Be happy. Drive your race car. Nobody cares. What upsets me about this is the actual bias. The implied bias, of course, is against conservatives, mostly Christian conservatives. You know, like people are going to confront this driver or do something crazy about this. He says, no, I'm, but he even said he's got bias too. He says, I'm a little surprised by how welcoming everybody's been. I'm not. I'm not surprised in any way, shape, or form. I've never seen anybody walk up and get in somebody's face because they're gay. I've not seen that. I've not seen anybody in my life walk up to somebody because their skin color and get in their face and call them names in a racist trope. I've never seen that. It doesn't happen. That's not the experience we have as we're living our lives. So making a big deal of this, to me, is the actual stereotype. It's the actual bias. It's conservative phobia. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you call it. It's from people on the left. They're the actual haters. They're the haters. And they have these terrible thoughts about everybody on the right that, oh, this gay man can't race at NHRA because this is just going to be too hard. Like Jackie Robinson got his ass kicked. Okay? It was bad. It was bad. He went through hell. It was tough. He was called names. The other players didn't like it. They spit on him. There was all kinds of crap Jackie Robinson dealt with. It was a rough go. Jackie Robinson should and always will be celebrated. That was real. But every time you say, oh, this is the first person with testicular cancer to... No, we don't do that. We don't do that. Oh, this is the first impotent man to... No, we don't do that either. Oh, this is the first openly gay driver. Woo, Jackie Robinson's driving a race car. Hell no, Jackie Robinson ain't driving a race car. No, stop, will you? You people have, it's just insane. And the inference is how awful other people are. That's the inference. There are no bad people in NHRA. They're welcoming. They don't care. NASCAR's the same way. See, what bothers me is when these sports leagues go out and they decide that they have to have Pride Month or do this or whatever to show people. No, stop showing people by some sort of marketing campaign what you want people to believe you are. It's ridiculous. Live your life. Don't treat anyone differently. Don't treat someone differently because they're gay. That, now most people say, don't treat them differently in a negative way because they're gay. Don't treat them differently positively in a different way. Don't do it. There's no reason to celebrate it. I'm sorry, there's not. Pride Month is offensive. It is. What, We have to have some, everybody in the culture has to celebrate you because you have sex with someone of a different gender? I don't even get that. Most people have sex. We don't celebrate you for who you have sex with. I don't even understand it. I can't even, the concept is so beyond me. Why we would single groups of people out and prop them up. To me, I've always thought when you try to prop them up and make them feel special, you're in a way saying you're weird. You're different. Why do that? Why not be inclusion is nobody's weird. Nobody's different. We're all human beings. We're all built the same way. We're just different. We live different lifestyles. We have different ways. Who cares? Who the flip cares? Travis Shoemake, openly gay. They're making a big deal about this in NHRA. I'm sorry. Jackie Robinson checked the box, and the other boxes are too tiny compared to that. The left's bias. KKHI is happy to be partnered up with Great Life KC to play more golf and get more fit. Golf and fitness memberships are available all over Kansas City. At Area Courses, the classic membership is 6 courses for one low price, all the way from Leavenworth to Blue Springs. The signature clubs include Canyon Farms, Falcon Ridge, Prairie Highlands, Staley Farms, Tallgrass in Wichita, Osage National at the Lake of the Ozark. These are great golf courses at greatlifekc.com. One low price, all the golf you can play, and many of them have pools or fitness memberships. Call 913-802-4552 or go online to greatlifekc.com. Marion Body Shop and the new car image. Well, I thought my father-in-law got a little door ding and was taking it to the new car image, and that is not the case. He has a big work truck. They had a trailer. He was working at somebody's house, and apparently the side of his truck scraped against a tree trunk, and he's got some service to be done on his work truck, and Marion Body Shop is going to handle that for him. They made him feel pretty good about this right from the start. He just called 362-1198, asked for Justin. He's the GM, or anybody there can help you, and they'll work with your insurance company and get you back out on the road and good to go. MerriamBodyShop.com. Fry Orthodontics, where my daughter got her braces when she was a teenager, and she's got a beautiful smile for life. Abby's a wonderful young lady, just terrific. Just, I'm so proud of all my kids. And I remember her experience at Fry being different. Our first son, Spencer, when he got his braces, was not at Fry. So we have a comparison. We weren't real thrilled. This has been years before. Spencer's older, well older than her. And it was okay, but it was like, nah, let's maybe try something different here. And I didn't know Dr. Jeremy then, like I do now. And we took Abby there. They weren't really an advertiser or anything like that. We just went to Fry Orthodontics, and she got to know Jeremy and the staff there, and it was just a tremendous experience. This is years and years and years ago, folks. And we've been hooked on Fry Orthodontics since. I cannot more highly recommend anyone to get you a perfect smile than Fry Orthodontics. Online at fryorthodontics.com. I have a listener who has been sending me emails about Cedar Fair, the company that owns Worlds of Fun, that they're ripping customers off because they never get cool new roller coasters at Worlds of Fun. I said, I haven't been for years. I don't know. I can't speak about this, and I'm not comfortable talking about this on the podcast because I don't know, but I'll take your word for it. I believed him. I believed his words to be true. Cedar Fair has these parks in Ohio that they're like all the greatest roller coasters. Like Cedar Fair is about roller coasters. They have owned Worlds of Fun since 1995. They bought it from Lamar Hunt, basically, and Jack Stedman back in the day. They announced this week that the Zambezi Zinger is coming back. Now, the Zambezi Zinger, my teenage years when I started driving, the Zambezi Zinger was the reason to go to Worlds of Fun. It was a roller coaster with open cars, no seatbelts, no harness, flying through trees at I don't know how fast, with handles on the outside. You put your hands up on the side of the car, and they would tell you as they let you go, hold on tight, because this thing's going to go fast and all this other stuff. That nothing, no seat, nothing. You just sat in these cars. Crazy. Almost like the log ride was, right? And so we loved it. I mean, we just loved the Zambezi Zinger. It was active from 1973 to 1997 when they shut it down. Worlds of Fun has currently 6 roller coasters. So it's not like they're lacking roller coasters. But for coaster enthusiasts, they're like, wait, every few years you should put up a cool new one and take your worst one down or something of that nature. You got to keep improving. They have announced at Worlds of Fun that next year, the new Zambezi Zinger will be in operation. It is wood and steel, and it looks cool. It is an homage to the original, and it looks really cool, and I'm excited. They, of course, announced this toward the end of the season, because if they announced it at the beginning of the season, people like me might say, oh, I'm not going this year. I'll wait until I go next year. There is no doubt I'm going to go ride the new Zambezi Zinger next year. No doubt. And I probably should go at some point this year anyway, because I like roller coasters. They make me a little sore as I've gotten older, but I like them. And I applaud Worlds of Fun for bringing back the Zambezi Zinger. Clearly, they get a lot of young people there and at the water park. Teenagers, young people have always gone to Worlds of Fun. Parents with kids. Now they're appealing to some older folks. You're going back to the 70s now. This is going to be 50 years since the original Zambezi Zinger. You're talking about people that could be grandparents taking their grandkids to go ride the Zambezi Zinger, and there's a little nostalgia there, and I like that. I like when things like that come back. That is a pretty cool deal. If you want to watch Disney Plus, a new TV from bstock.net would be a good option for you. I don't know many of you that watch a lot of Disney Plus. We'll get to Disney Plus in a moment, but it gives me an opportunity to remind you about bstock.net in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. Chris tells me this week they have 258 different models of laptops in stock ready for you today. You can go to the location in Olathe and get a brand new laptop. They'll find the perfect one for you. You will never find a laptop cheaper than at BStock. They're brand new, in the box. You can get a warranty on them. They're right there in Olathe, and they have an excellent technical staff that can guide you through exactly the laptop you need. I always say for me, I need the lower end. I don't have a lot of hike. I'm not my son Cameron in Texas. He goes with the Apple MacBooks. He needs it for his work, all the creative stuff he does, the animation, all the he needs that. I don't. Maybe you don't. They'll get you in the right laptop. 258 different models. BStock.net. Disney Plus is putting out expectations for lower subscription numbers. But they're still going to raise the price. This happened to Netflix as well. And we're talking about millions of people here. So I've mentioned before, there isn't a week that goes by that I don't have 2, 3, 4 patrons of KKHI cancel. A lot of them will send emails and they say the same thing. We have sat down together as a couple. We're redoing our entire budget. We're worried about the economy and inflation. And we're finding every little thing. And Kevin Keatsman has issues. Patron program is a little thing in the grand scheme of things. Not nearly as important as putting gas in your car. I get it. I respect it. I encourage you. I encourage our patrons. If it's tough now, stop. Don't send it here. Okay? But what I don't understand about these subscription services like Netflix and Disney Plus is while they're losing people because everybody's cutting back on their budgets, and some people are just mad at Disney Plus over politics. So they got the double whammy going on right now. What I don't understand is they just keep raising prices. And I could easily do this. I think we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 patrons that I have right now, something like that. And if I rose the price from $5, most of them would stay. First of all, I don't even know how to raise the price. Second of all, I can't even imagine doing that. I've got a fun little patron program where, like yesterday, we did a big Trump update on the raid, some quotes and comments from Eric Trump. We talked about the judge that gave the order, the archivist who's kind of a freak in D.C. and the weird stuff that these are all anti-Trumpers. These are Trump derangement syndrome people. We did a fun podcast on that yesterday, and the patrons got that, I don't know, around 5 o'clock, 5:30, something like that, yesterday afternoon. They like it. They like getting a second podcast in a day. They're a little shorter. They're not as comprehensive and as long as these. But they're always things that have happened that day. They're a little more timely, things like that. So they like that. But I can't imagine raising the price. I can't imagine charging more. If I did, if I doubled it today, I'd make a lot more money because most of them would stay on. But that isn't what the patron program is to me. For me, it's here's bonus program. If you like it enough, let's do this. We're doing charitable things. We've got another thing we're going to be announcing in the next couple of weeks that we're going to be doing in the Northland. I'll give a little bit out. we're going to have a cornhole tournament. Bags. We're going to have fun, and it's going to benefit a military charity locally, and the patron program will be a big part of that. That money will make a donation. And so we do a lot of things like that with the patron program. But I watch these Disney Pluses, and they're going to lose maybe 20 million subscribers in the next quarter, but they're going to raise prices on everyone that stays. Of course they're going to make more money by doing that. There's just enough people that are going to say, well, I'm never getting rid of that. I have this. I'm not getting rid of it. And there's others that won't even notice. The sheer number of people that if you raise something, don't even look at their credit card or debit card statement and know that it went up $1 or $2 or $5. In the case, I think Netflix last raise was $5. That don't even know that's how much it went up. That's where the money is. Well, I'm not in my patron business for the money. That's not it. It's nice that you join. I think for the bonus programming, there should be a fee. I think we should do good things with that. And I'm not going to tell you that if I sit here for 10 years that at some point I won't raise it, but I feel like I would stop the program before I'd raise it. You can always give more. We tell all the patrons it's a $5 minimum, but you can give more. You can make it $10 a month. You can do those things. I just don't understand. I don't understand creating content, which is what these people are. They're content creators, and saying, we don't mind fewer people consuming the content. I want the patron program to grow and be bigger because I'd rather more people listen to the content I'm creating than make more money out of it. I'd like to have 1,000 patrons, not because it brings in more money. That's 400 or 500 more people that listen to every patron podcast. That would be a kick to me. I like that. So I guess since I'm a creator, a content creator, I look at it differently than executives at Disney or Netflix. But man, everybody's cutting these services. You know, we're getting to a point now where there's some real value in cable TV because everybody's lined up with all these services and they just keep raising your price. And all of a sudden it's like having all these services is more expensive than having one thing that's all bundled. So I don't know where it's all going. I just know Disney's got some trouble there. And it doesn't bother me that Disney's got problems. They've got it from raising their prices, a bad economy, and woke content. And Disney Plus deserves everything coming their way. And it sounds like they've got some real problems. Real rocky road over the next year for Disney Plus compared to what their projections were and what they thought the stock would do and what Disney Plus would be. So bully them. Tip of the cap to Advanced Medical Imaging in Lawrence, online at medimageks.com. If you need an MRI or a CT scan, there is no reason to wait. Get it done today at Advanced Medical Imaging. Folks, if you don't remember these websites and stuff on these sponsors, you can always email me. And I'll put you in touch with these people just as fast as I possibly can. I encourage anyone, if you didn't blow out your knee and you don't need an MRI, if you're over 40, to get a heart scan at Advanced Medical Imaging. Find out what your plaque score is, which tells you all that you need to know about risk of heart problems, possible stroke, things of this nature. Online at medimageks.com, you can do this for under $100 out of pocket. Of course, MRIs and CT scans, things like that, your insurance covers. They take all your insurance. It's a brand new facility. They've got state-of-the-art equipment, quiet, natural lighting. This is as comfortable as it gets when you need medical imaging. Online at medimageks.com. Hope you enjoyed our walk down memory lane on this one, the history of WHB. I certainly enjoyed it, and congratulate again everyone over 100 years that in any way, shape, or form were involved with WHB. A most historic radio station. Congratulations for those of you going tonight. Have a great time and celebrate the history of one great media entity in our great city. Thank you, as always, for listening to KKHI. Please hit the like or follow button or find a friend that might want to listen to the podcast and have him hit subscribe, follow, like, whatever it may be. That's absolutely free. And we certainly appreciate you doing that. Have a great day from us at KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.